Coach, going to the West Coast, what is unique about that as far as travel? It's 2 hours time difference. We're in Houston, so it's not crazy. It's not like you're going from Miami to Seattle, but it is a long distance for you.
It is. I would say your last point is pretty true, though. It's definitely a lot different than going from East Coast all the way to the West Coast. You know, having done that before, I think it's better. Obviously, there is a time difference, and you have to get used to that, and you have to give the players time to whatever it is, catch up, get their body clocks right. I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about that because we have Cap and Fitzy and Eric Corum that help with those kinds of things, and they kind of help me set the schedule. Look, I think at the end of the day, our guys playing in that environment, they know they have a great opportunity. It's a great place to play, and they're going to be looking forward to it. So whatever the hour difference is, I think they'll be ready to go when the ball's kicked off.
Coach, from that standpoint, not worrying about the time difference, but just playing up there.
Yeah.
A place you don't play often.
Right.
And how loud it actually is. And I know you've talked about that before, the number of things that you have to prepare for as an offense. But how difficult does it make you, the noise and, of course, that defense?
Yeah, it's very, very loud. And so the only way you can prepare for it is by trying to make it that loud. You know, and you'll never simulate. You know, it'll never be exactly what it is in Seattle. But you try to make it as loud as possible. So you're using hand signals and, eye contact and reading lips. I mean, seriously, you're using all kinds of different ways because you're not going to be able to hear.
Right.
And we'll huddle, we'll huddle and we'll get into a huddle mode. And I think our guys do a really good job of communicating. I think our guys are excited about it, but it is a challenge. It's definitely different, and it's a challenge.
From the defensive standpoint, though, do they enjoy it in some sense? Because they can probably communicate a little bit easier than they can here. I see them here sometimes, and they can't because our crowd is so loud.
It's the opposite, right? Yeah. It's the opposite on the road for the defense than it is here. So, but I know that Seattle's even different. In Indianapolis, when everybody quiets down, when they're on offense, it's still loud in Seattle, having been there a couple times. I mean, it's still loud. But I do know that it is a little bit easier than it is at home for our defense. It's really on the offense as far as communication. I think that's the big unit that has to deal with it.
Not to give away what you would do at Seattle, but when you win the toss and you have a chance to decide whether you want to take the ball first or not, what goes into that usually for
Vandy?
You? Okay.
Get me in trouble here. No, I kind of like I really, in all seriousness, I want to kind of stay away from that question. But
sure.
It's really just me with the team and, what we feel about both sides of the ball as far as our opening drive, what their opening drive might be, what our opening drive, where we are at that time. It's just it's not a gut feeling. I'm not saying that. It is. We try to put somewhat of a science to it. It has a lot to do with, our kickoff return or our kickoff coverage, what we're trying to do there. So I think it's each game. It has to do with who we're playing, where it is on the road, who their quarterback is, who their, how their defense is, things like that. I think that has a lot to do with it too. But there's a lot that goes into that decision, which sounds like an easy decision. It's actually one of the hardest decisions that you have as a head coach.
I think it's a good answer because you have gone against type sometimes, so that plays into it.
Yeah, mean, here, when we're at home, sometimes I've basically put our, I've deferred to be able to get the ball to start the second half, but also to put our defense out there first, feel like our defense had a great week of practice, whatever it is. But, sometimes that changes. Last week I took the ball, We took the ball and we were able to go down the field and score points. We felt good about our opening drive. So I think that type of decision is made kind of Saturday, Friday night, Saturday.
Okay. Coach, the other side of the ball for Seattle, we talked about defense a little bit. But offensively, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think back to that Kansas City game, and I know we talked after that Kansas City game about letting Alex Smith out of contain. I would imagine that's the first thing you put up on the whiteboard to contain Russell Wilson. How much of a challenge is it to go against that guy?
Yeah. Just so you guys know, I've known Russell since, he was a junior in high school. And I was at Duke, and we recruited the heck out of him. And he was choosing between NC State and Duke at the end, and it was baseball, and it was just a tremendous kid. Knew his dad, knew his mom. I mean, tremendous kid. And I remember when he came to our football camp, and we basically played like what we call devil ball, that they play at all these camps. Mm-hmm. And the guy at that time was unbelievable at his scrambling ability, his ability to drop back against high school kids and just absolutely dominate this tournament that we had. So a long-winded answer to your question. If you let this guy out of the pocket consistently, you're going to be in trouble because he's a very dangerous player. He's dangerous enough from in the pocket.
Right.
Now you let him out of the pocket, I mean, he's really hard to contain because he's got great vision, he's got great patience, he's got great courage. He trusts his receivers down the field. He's got Baldwin and Graham and those guys. So, you know, it's definitely a big challenge to keep him in the pocket.
A lot of people cover the league have compared Deshaun Watson to Russell Wilson, and I know we all want that kind of success that Wilson has had,
yeah.
But how would you compare those two?
Yeah, I mean, look, I try to stay away from comparisons.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do, Vandy. I do see some similarities, but I definitely see some differences, and not that one's better than the other. I wouldn't say that. I mean, Deshaun's only played, you know, 5.5 games, you know,
right.
But there's some similarities. Obviously, their ability to create plays and extend plays is obviously a similarity. But other than that, I would tell you that each guy is very, very different. You know, obviously they're different in the years of experience that they have in the league, but I think they're different in other ways. And look, I think Deshaun's a very, very unique player. I think he's a very unique player, and we're learning about his uniqueness every week.
Coach, I know the bye week is a great time to get everybody rested and relaxed a little bit, but it's off routine. Was it good to get the players back today to see them again and start thinking about the Seattle game?
I mean, it's really the most fun you have is when the players are here. I mean, you know, nothing against the coaching staff, but I mean, 19 hours a day looking at Mike Devlin. Like, I mean, I love Mike Devlin.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, it's time for the players to be back. I mean, you know what I mean? It'd be like you two having to sit in a room together for 19 hours. I mean, can you imagine that?
Yeah, we do that every now and again.
But, no, I think coaching and being with the players and interacting with the players is what it's all about. I do think we were able to get a lot of things done. The players were able to take a deep breath. I thought we were flying around today pretty good at practice. So, you know, I think it was a good week off. But, you know, the proof will be in the pudding on Sunday.
And the communication, you mentioned it on the O-line and at large offensively going into an environment like this. But getting Dwayne back and getting everybody together again, really important to have that extra day of practice on a Monday heading into.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I think that's really big. And, you know, we're a little bit different than we were when Dwayne was here last. So, you know, there is some learning that he has to do. And, you know, our terms are different. Some of the things we're doing are different. So I think having that extra day is really going to help him.
Coach, offensive line. I ask them all the time, why are they the tightest unit? And they always say, because we all have to work together. We're five guys that have to work as one. But yet you mentioned at your press conference today, too, that you've had different groups in there together. And I sometimes look at it and go, how are you doing that with that many different groups that you've had success, especially the last 5 weeks with the offensive line? How have you been able to maintain that success with the offensive line, even though you've had different pieces in there?
Yeah, I think the credit goes to two different groups of people. I think, well, one person, and then the group. I think credit goes to the players. You know, we have a great group of smart offensive linemen. They're tough. I think that's another thing about the brotherhood in that room. I mean, they you know, you don't get any glory. There's no your name's not in the headline when you're an offensive lineman. You know, so the glory is the big run, the block that sprung the big run, the block that, you know, that extra second you stayed on that pass block to let the touchdown pass be thrown. That's the glory for the offensive lineman. That's what they love, and they all root for each other to make that play. And I think our guys are like that. You know, they're lunch pail guys. And then Devlin. You know, Mike Devlin does a great job with those guys. He teaches them. I've said this very often. I've been very fortunate. I've been around some great line coaches, and he's right there at the top. He's a very good teacher. He's very good with me. He's patient with me because, you know, I'm not very patient. And he does a good job of relaying information to those guys and really creating that, helping create that environment of brotherhood in that room.
As you've self-scouted, what's the recipe for getting better on special teams as you get back to it this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things. We're very inconsistent. It's kind of been that way, you know, for us here, and we just have to be more consistent. You know, I think that, you know, there's times where we look really good. You know, we down the punt inside the five, or we cover a punt really well, or we direct the kickoff correctly and we cover it, and then other times we don't direct it good enough and we have trouble covering, you know. And our punt return team, I think, should be a lot better. We've got good punt returners led by Will Fuller, and I think we should really have a chance to score touchdowns with that unit. I really do, if we can stay on blocks a little bit longer. So, you know, I think, look, Larry and I are working hard to coach it better, and I know the players are working hard to be better, but that's an area where we spent a lot of time on self-scout. And we just have to be more consistent with what we're doing. When it's good, it's pretty good, but it's too up and down right now.
All right, time for Ask Bill O'Brien, presented by Amegy Bank of Texas. And a listener wants to know, you're a Houstonian now. Give us a couple of things that you've grown to love about Houston.
Oh,
what do you love about this city, being from somewhere else and moving here?
I mean, there's not one thing. First of all, the people. My wife and I and my family, we've met, I mean, friends that we'll have for life, you know, that are – Just great people that we've met through our son's school or whatever it is, you know, Little League Baseball, like I always talk about with you guys. I mean, great, great people. You know, I think we've met a lot of great people through Easter Seals, you know, with my older son's school and some of the things we do for Special Olympics and things like that. I, you know, look, as you can tell from me, the restaurants, you know what I mean? I mean, the food. And somebody told me when I first came here, like, please don't broadcast this too much. I got to be careful because it's like it is a little gem of a secret for Houston, you know, because it's not New York City. It's not, you know, known as, you know, Chicago and L.A. or whatever. But the restaurants here are way better than anywhere in the country, I think. I mean, you got steak, you got Italian, you got, you know, Mexican food. I mean, you have all kinds of food to choose from. And I just – that's why I weigh what I weigh right now because I like to eat. Especially in the off season.
But. Yeah, but you're always working out, it seems.
There's many things, though, that are great about this. Yeah, I work out. That's for stress relief. That's not like a real workout.
How important is that, though, to maintain that part of it for stress relief? Because so many people go through that in everyday life.
Yeah.
But you're on the treadmill and you're doing whatever you do to help relieve some of that.
I think if you can get – somebody told me a long time ago, a guy that I GA'd for a long time ago, was like, take 20 minutes to half an hour a day during a season to just do something. Just get on the treadmill and do something. Go lift a weight. Just get away from it. Because I think when you're sitting down all day and, you know, you're watching tape and you're, you know, you got chips next to you, you got this next to you, it's not good. And I think you have to watch what you eat. And none of this I do a great job at, and don't get me wrong, but I do try to exercise because it does. And for me, exercise helps me kind of get away from it and think about it a little bit more instead of, you know, rushing into a decision or whatever it is. It gives me a chance to really think about some of the decisions that I have to make. So it does help.
Did you get a chance to watch Game 7?
I did. You know, there were so many games on.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Astros, but I was flicking back and forth because
Michigan Penn State,
Notre Dame, USC, which was a blowout, but and so was Michigan Penn State. So I absolutely watched Game 7. It was awesome. I mean, wasn't that awesome?
I mean, it was really cool. And it kind of goes to the other thing I was thinking about. Your impression of Houston before you got here, and now being here 4 years, I would imagine, is it different than what you thought it would be when you got down here?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think every city's passionate about their sports, but there's no city more passionate about their sports than Houston. I mean, I think that, you know, people's Mondays are determined by how we play on Sunday, and I think that we definitely have an effect on the community, whether we win or lose, and I think that's a cool thing, you know, and I think when you watch the Astros and you just feel that crowd through the TV, you know, my son was fortunate. He went to Game 6. He said, Dad, you never heard anything like that. I mean, they were going nuts. And I think the passion of the fans is just awesome. You know, you go out to grab something to eat with Colleen and people are just so really supportive. I mean, look, you know, you have your fans just like every city that don't really like you, and that's just the way it's always going to be. But, you know, most of these fans here are so supportive and so great to what we're trying to do here, and that's why it makes it – such a goal to do what the Astros are doing, you know, and try to bring a championship to Houston in football because, you know, we love the Astros, but we know what a football championship would do in this city, and that's what we're really trying to do.
I used to think you were a little bit, I don't know, I thought when you took the Penn State job, I was like, oh, my gosh, what is he doing? And then I watched that game the other night, and it's a whiteout game, and Mark, you know, you've been in that area.
There,
it's 107,000 people, and they're all wearing white, and the place is rock. At that point, I realized I see why you took that job back when you did. That place was unbelievable.
Yeah, I would say relative to college football, that's a top 10 job. I mean, that's a great job, and I think that you know, my decision to come here was I felt great about what we could do here, and my ambition to be a pro head coach. You know, that's just what I wanted to do to coach at the highest level. But relative to college football, that job is unbelievable. And it was a horrible thing that happened, but it's such a strong place. And you know, one guy wasn't going to take that place down. And I've coached in two whiteouts, and, man, that place is vibrating. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. It's a pretty cool place.
Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck this
week.
Thanks,
guys. Yep.